This is VOA News. I'm Marissa Melton. A magnitude 5.0 aftershock hit Indonesia's Sulawesi Island on Saturday after a 6.2 earthquake killed at least 45 people a day earlier. Indonesia's Disaster Mitigation Agency said no damage or casualties were reported from the aftershock in West Sulawesi. It took place a day after the earthquake, which injured more than 820 people and forced about 15,000 to evacuate their homes. The head of Indonesia's Meteorology and Geophysics Agency told Metro TV on Saturday that another quake was possible and that it could reach a magnitude of up to 7.0. Residents have been asked to keep out of the ocean because of the risk of tsunami. In December 2004, a 9.1 magnitude earthquake struck off the coast of Sumatra in the Indian Ocean. It triggered a tsunami that killed about 230,000 people in the region, most of them in Indonesia. U.S. President-elect Joe Biden unveiled a plan Friday to speed up the U.S. COVID-19 vaccine rollout. The plan includes increased federal funding, creation of thousands of vaccination centers, and use of the Defense Production Act to expand the production of vaccination supplies. The wide-ranging plan is part of Mr. Biden's effort to achieve his goal for 100 million Americans to be vaccinated within 100 days. Mr. Biden called for states to widen the pool of people they're currently vaccinating to include those over 65 years old. His plan also includes proposals to create federally funded community vaccination centers, as well as mobile clinics for underserved communities, and he underscored the need for Congress to approve more money to fund his proposals. From Washington, you're listening to VOA News. The French news agency is reporting that at least 4,500 Honduran migrants crossed into Guatemala on Friday on their way north to the United States. The agency reported that border guards put up no resistance. The estimate of the number of people crossing over came from a Guatemalan police official at the border. He said police let the migrants in because the crowd included many families with children. The migrants plan to walk thousands of kilometers through Central America to Mexico and then on to the United States in search of a better life. But the quest could end in heartbreak. Mark Morgan, acting commissioner for the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency, last week warned the group that the pending change in U.S. presidential administrations would not affect the U.S. commitment to, in his words, the rule of law and public health. U.S. President-elect Joe Biden has promised, quote, a fair and humane immigration system. He's also pledged aid to tackle the root causes of poverty and violence that drive Central Americans to migrate to the United States. U.S. military officials say a total of 18,000 armed troops with the U.S. National Guard are expected to arrive in the U.S. Capitol, Washington, D.C., ahead of next Wednesday's presidential inauguration day. That's in addition to the 7,000 sent in following the January 6th riot and siege of the U.S. Capitol by extremists supporting outgoing President Donald Trump. Already, numerous streets around the U.S. Capitol building have been closed to traffic. The core area of the National Mall is also closed to visitors. Temporary fences increasingly block the view, while the U.S. Secret Service, in charge of security planning for the January 20th inauguration ceremony, has created Washington's own green zone for the occasion, warning that any vehicle trying to enter the protected area will be searched for explosives and weapons. The beefed-up security stands in sharp contrast to the presidential inauguration 4 years ago. At that time, 8,000 National Guard troops were called in to help. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has issued a decree setting parliamentary and presidential elections for later this year. It would be the first vote of its kind since 2006, when the Islamic militant group Hamas won a landslide victory. Elections would pose a major risk for Abbas's Fatah party and also for Hamas. Both have faced protests in recent years over their inability to reconcile with one another, advance Palestinian aspirations for statehood, or meet the basic needs of those in the territories that they govern. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. From Washington, you're listening to VOA News.